Hi, and welcome to the Group X-Files. This is the podcast for demystifying the secrets of becoming a successful group exercise instructor. I'm your host, Sarah Keller, and I can't wait to share with you the two decades of experience I have and what that's taught me in terms of leading thriving and full group exercise classes. Welcome to episode 2 of the Group X-Files. Today we are starting at the very beginning. This is all about laying the foundation. So when it comes to group exercise, we're going to talk about cueing, coaching, and connecting. Stay tuned for specifics inside this episode. All right, my friends. When we are looking to be the best instructor that we can be, it always starts with our foundation, right? If there are cracks in the foundation, those cracks are going to be amplified the more we build from there. So we want to make sure that we are really nailing the basics before we get fancy with things or start being more of the top or focusing on the entertainment aspect of teaching. So the first thing that we've got to nail is cueing for our participants. It seems like a simple thing to do. And depending on what type of program you do, this cueing is going to look different, right? If you're teaching yoga, even within the different aspects of yoga, there could be more instruction, there could be less. There could be a lot of body alignment cues. There could be a lot of transition cues to get from one position to the other. There might be some Sanskrit involved. But then if you've got new people in the room, do they know what that Sanskrit means? Or do you need to back it up with the English? If you're teaching Zumba in a very traditional sense of teaching Zumba, it's going to be a lot of visual cues. You're not going to have those verbal cues to rely on. But then if you're teaching something like a Les Mills program or a more traditional group exercise, you are going to have those cues. And what is the first thing those cues start with? The cues need to start with the what. The what is super important. If people don't know what they're doing, they certainly don't know how to do it, nor do they know why they need to do it. So we start with the what. That what cue should not be happening as the music is changing and they're starting the movement, right? There's this thing we call pre-cueing. Most of us have heard of it. And most of us get better at it as we go. It is not something that we excel at the first time we go out to teach. But if you think that 16 to 8 counts ahead of time and make sure they know what is the next thing that I am expected to do, that will go a huge way in terms of setting up success for their movement. They will be able to make that transition at the time that you expect them to make that transition in the music. They won't be late. They won't be offbeat trying to be like, oh, what did she want me to do next? What was that? And when we talk about pre-cueing, there are lots of ways that can look. It could be a visual pre-cue. You could show them the next move. If it's a familiar enough move that you can just coach it by mouth, right? Hey, we're going back to that jab cross hook combo in 4, 3, 2, boom, there we go. It depends on what you're cueing them. If we're going back to something we've done, it's much easier to cue it verbally. If we are going into something new, it may take a moment of us stepping out of what we were doing, right? So that's a whole other skill to develop, is the group is doing one thing. You want them to keep doing that thing, but you want to show them the next thing so they know visually what the next thing looks like. And that's a real challenge for some of us because it's hard to not be doing what the rest of the group is doing. And then the group is like, oh, well, the instructor's doing something different. They're showing me this new thing. Should I be doing that new thing now? So we have to work on really crafting our language to make sure that they're clear that you're demonstrating the next move, that you're giving them a preview, a pre-cue of what's coming up next. Very important to distinguish that and very important to deliver that in a timely manner. And as an instructor, that means you need to know inside and out when that shift is coming. You need to know the music. You need to know, oh, we were doing 16 of these and I've made it through 8 of them and it's a really quick tempo. So I need to be getting ready to tell them that we're shifting to something different in another 8 rounds, another 8 reps, whatever it happens to be, another 8 counts. Learning to distinguish that and being able to pull aside from, this is where the music is. This is what I know we're all doing, but I need to preview and pre-cue this next thing. is such an important skill. And it's something that develops over time. It absolutely does take some time to get good at that. But once you figure it out, you will notice that your class participants follow along so much better. They will transition much more smoothly. And you won't find yourself feeling compelled to stop the music and show something between tracks. We have to have faith in our participants and in our own skills that we can get them to that next move without us having to take a break and without us having to preview the whole combo or the whole this or the whole that between tracks. We should be able to press play and go. So if that means that you are teaching freestyle and building something a little more complex, figure out how to break that down along the way so that they get the building blocks along the way. And hey, we start with this small move. Now we're going to do that 8 times. Then we're going to add this next move to it. We're going to do that this many times. Then we're going to add this other move. So part of it, in order to have success in building the previews and the pre-cues, is making sure that the breakdown of the choreography makes sense. If you're teaching a pre-choreographed program, that is part of what those companies do. Les Mills, Zumba, Soul Body, Bar Above, any of them, right? They figure out the choreographed breakdowns for you so that you know that we start with this move, then we add this next level to it, or we add this next piece of the combo to it. And eventually it gets bigger and bigger until you've got the whole thing put together. And then that previewing and pre-cueing becomes less important once the whole thing is put together. But we've got to master knowing when the transitions are so we can anticipate them, so that we can notify our participants ahead of time that those transitions are coming. Very important for their success and for them to feel like they don't have 2 left feet and to not feel like they're behind all the time, because then that starts to defeat them a little bit. And if they feel like they can't follow along and they feel like they're behind, why are they going to keep doing it? Why are they going to keep coming back, right? So we lay the foundations. We give them the what. That what should be simple, very clear, very easy to deliver. And generally 3 cues or fewer in terms of the what, right? So if you're trying to tell someone how to do something, find a way to do it in 3 statements or less. More than that, you just start to sound like the Charlie Brown teacher talking in the background, and they don't continue to hear you. Yes, I paused there intentionally. I wanted to let that land. They need to listen and hear you. If you are nonstop talking, they don't know what's important and what is less important. So we learn the value of silence along the way as we're cueing, which is an interesting thing to say. I get it, as we're talking about cueing and I'm talking about silence, but silence is just as important in cueing as the words and the cues that you choose. So we establish the what. We're doing a roundhouse kick. We're doing a jab cross combo. We're doing a mambo. We're doing an L step, a V step, whatever it happens to be. This is what we're doing. It would be important to then establish how to do it, right? How many of them and how to best execute the movement. Again, think of that number of 3. 3 things to tell them to successfully execute it. Certainly, foot position might be important. Core engagement, body position, alignment, all of these things might be important. And then range of motion. Right? What direction are they moving? How are they moving? Are they moving up and down? Are they moving forward? Are they moving back? Are they moving left, right? So how do they execute it? These how cues can change. We can start very basic to make sure they understand the foundation of the movement, right? This whole podcast, this episode is about laying the foundation. So we want to make sure that we are giving them a good foundation. We pre-cue it, we tell them the what, now we're giving them the how. And that how can start very basic, because that's how we reach everyone in the room, is making sure the basics are established before we offer additional options. Because you will have a room that's got intermediate people and advanced people along with your first timers, and you want everyone to feel like there's something there for them. So that how is very important in terms of establishing right? This is how level one is going to do it. This is, if you want more, this is what we could do to modify it to take it up a notch. If that's still not enough for you, you've been doing this for a while with me, here's your third option, right? So giving them available options in terms of the how. So that might look like, say you're teaching a kickboxing class and you have a front kick in your combo. So the basics might be just push the ball of the forward, ball of the foot forward, retract the kick, put your foot back on the ground. Simple enough. Our level two cue might be push the ball of the foot forward, squeeze your glutes, drive the hips forward as well. Retract the kick, touch back down. Then our level three option, right, our more advanced option, might also involve reaching the arms slightly behind you to also accelerate that hip push forward as you're pushing the ball of the foot forward, so that they have three levels of execution, a mild, medium, and spicy, so to say, right? Giving them options along the way, enforcing the how, super important, especially if we're talking about strength training classes. The how is ever so important in a strength training class. You've got weight on a bar, likely racked on someone's shoulders or held at arm's length if you're doing, say, some sort of deadlift or clean and press type of movement. And above all, we want to make sure that they understand how to execute the movement, right? Doing a clean and press, that it's going to zip right up their body before they flip that bar at shoulder height and press it overhead. That it's not kind of sweeping out away from the body in some sort of odd D-shaped moment. So really focusing on the how, taking the time, turning your body sideways so they can see it. And if you've got people that are dead set going to follow you no matter what you do, tell them, hey, stay where you are. I'm going to turn sideways so you can see this better. But then take your time and pause during the movement at important points of execution. In that front kick, can you hold your balance so they can see your hips forward, your shoulders slightly back as the leg extends? In a squat, can you hold halfway, two-thirds of the way down so they can understand what that good squat form looks like at any range of motion? As you're sitting there, can you talk about where should their weight be? Should it be in the front of the foot, the back of the foot? Should it be evenly distributed throughout the whole foot? And where should they be feeling the work? That's part of the how as well, right? Understanding what is actually doing the work here is very important, because there are moves that, depending on how you load your weight and depending on how you load your balance, it could feel more glute centric, it could feel more hamstring centric, it could feel more quad centric. There are moves that feel very different but look very similar. So if we're not telling them where they should feel this movement, A, they might be feeling it somewhere else. B, they might be executing in just a small way that we can't see the difference that's shifting them into different muscle work. And B, if they don't know, they don't know to adapt, right? If they don't know they should be focusing into the outside of the legs and they feel it in their main part of their glutes, well, they're not going to change anything because they don't know that they should be feeling it in this other place. And they're not going to reach out to ask for help or further cueing or further hands-on assistance if they don't know that they might be missing some of the muscle work. And if they're missing the muscle work over and over, A, they could be forming bad habits. B, best case scenario, they're just not getting the most efficient workout, and that's not the end of the world. But worst case scenario, they end up getting injured because they've got bad form, or they're executing in such a way that is not just ineffective, but could be dangerous to them. So it's our job to make sure that the how is clearly established and that we are paying attention to them, right? People might not want hands-on assist, but you could make eye contact with them and say, hey, what if we tried this? Hey, could we feel it here? Or walk right next to them. And even if they don't want a hands-on assist, come off the mic and say, hey, I noticed that your hips aren't shifting far enough back on your squat. What would happen if you sat your hips further back as you went down? Whatever that cue might be that they need to fix their form, you could absolutely take it one-on-one off the mic. You can leave the stage if you have a stage. You're not married to it. You can leave the front of the room. You can help your people. The more you help your people, the more successful they will feel and the more likely they are to return to your class in the future. It's as simple as that. After we've established the what, we've established the how, we've given them several different options. We've tried to provide them some alternatives, right? If we notice someone's dealing with an injury and we still want them to get similar work, we've offered that in our how. We've offered different options for beginner up to our advanced participants. Now we need the why. And the why is something that not every instructor gets to. But the why is a huge part of what helps people come back. Sure, they love to be entertained. They love your personality. They love the workout that they get, the soreness that they feel the next morning. They love all of these things. But when you can amplify it to the next level and when you can tell them the why and help them understand the benefit of the movement that they're doing, that just takes your instruction to the next level. In strength work, whether it's, you know, a Les Mills body pump class, a freestyle full body strength class, some sort of interval strength class, a Pilates type class, even yoga. Yoga's got a ton of strength work in it. Aquatics classes have strength work in them, right? What is the why? Why are they doing this movement? Not just maybe anatomical, though certainly anatomical, right? We've talked about what muscles they should be feeling, but what benefit do they get from using those muscles in that way? A great way to talk about the benefit, the why, especially in our older populations, you know, maybe our 20, 30-year-olds don't need connections to their everyday activities, but our aging populations are huge portions of our Group X classes these days, and we love that they are coming to our classes, and they're moving, and they're making friends, and they've got community, and all of the things that Group X benefits. But the biggest piece is making connections for them. And how is this going to help your everyday activities, right? It's going to make getting up out of your chair that much easier. It's going to make bending down to reach for something and putting it up on the shelf feel that much better. It's going to help you in the winter when you go out and it might be a little bit icy to keep your balance. So we can make those connections. But then we hear it all the time in yoga, instructors talking about the body benefits, the internal benefits to the practice. And it's not always physical, right? A lot of us are taking on exercise as a type of medicine, both to heal us physically, but also for our mental health. So it could be that something is just a great stress relief. You're teaching kickboxing and you've just got a 30-second all-out jab series and they're just punching and punching, even if it's to the air, they're gonna feel a huge stress release after that. In yoga, it could be that we're focusing on looking inward. Maybe it's the meditation part of class in the beginning of class, reminding them to clear their minds, to leave everything at the door, right? To come into their practice and be on their mat in that moment because they're worth it, because they're important and they should take the time for themselves, right? So establishing our why. And if you're sitting here going, okay, so I need to preview and I need to pre-cue and I need to give them the what and I need to give them the how and I need to give them the why, but I'm also not supposed to talk every minute of class and I'm supposed to have some silence to let my cues land. How is it possible that I do all of these things every single class, every single move? Number one, we don't do it every single move, right? We obviously set those basic layer one type cues, those what cues, so that people know what they are doing. But we don't necessarily need a how and a why every time we do a move. We find the balance of making sure people know what they're doing and that they're executing it well. And then we see, as we look around the room, what needs some enhancement. Right? Are we noticing poor form? If we're noticing poor form, we're going to talk more about how to correct the form and what good form looks like and what muscles we should be feeling. If we notice that maybe someone looks kind of distracted or they look kind of blah. Maybe then we shift more into the why, so that maybe we can connect with them on what is that movement going to do for them, right? How am I helping you? How am I making your life better? How am I making you move better? You feel better? Any of those things will help. And then the piece that's not quite as concrete. We've previewed, we've given them the what, we've given them the why, we've given them the how. That intangible piece of cueing is that motivation piece. It's looking out into your room and seeing who needs what to get them through that part of the workout. And it could be as simple as reminding them, you're here for a reason today. Fight for yourself. Do this for yourself. Whatever it happens to be, right? You made that hard decision to A, come to class, and you left your house, you showed up at the gym, you walked in the front door, and you walked into the studio. Any one of those could have been a point of failure, but they made it into your class and they're there because they want to be for whatever purpose they have, any goal that they set for themselves coming into that class. It could be that it was their first time and they just want to survive the class. It could be that they're trying to establish consistency and they're super proud that this is the third week in a row that they've made it back to class. It could be that they're trying to develop strength. They're trying to get better at cardio, whatever it happens to be. We might not know everyone's story, but we will talk in future episodes about getting to know people and really truly being present when we're in the studio space. So we don't necessarily know everyone's story. But we can see when someone starts to look a little fatigued, when someone starts to look a little defeated, or on the flip side, when they look like they're absolutely crushing it. Motivation comes in different ways. It can be a congratulations, you look like you're doing a fantastic job. Or it could be a come on, we're almost there, right? You've got 4 reps left. You can absolutely do this type of motivation. And it's gonna look different for each member. You've got that member who is going to take 3 classes in a row because they're training for some performance type competition. Maybe it's high rocks, maybe they're a triathlete, whatever it is, and this is their cross training day. So they've got a lot of training ahead of them and they're fit and they don't need you to hold their hand, right? But they do want you to notice every now and then and give them a, hey, fantastic job, whatever it might be to get them through to the next point. Or, come on, I know you've got this, right? What if you did blank for the last 20 seconds of this? You'd be surprised how much people will dig in when you just ask them to. But if we don't ask them to, they may not dig in. And even if we ask them to, they might not dig in. Let's be honest. They're like, oh, I'm just trying to survive this. I'm just going to get through it. It's whatever. I'm barely moving at this point. But we don't know unless we give them that ask. And it doesn't have to be in order. If it comes as an ask, they feel like they are in control of whether or not they're going to do it. And that autonomy is huge. We'll talk about autonomy in a later episode and giving your members some freedom of choice and feeling like they have some sort of autonomy in what's happening in their workouts. But that's part of your cueing as well. So here's what we've established in this episode 2 that is all about laying foundations, right? We've got to start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. If you've ever seen Sound of Music, I know you've got that song in your head right now. You're hearing Maria sing it with the kids. But you've got to start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. You've got to nail those what's. And as you become a more seasoned instructor, you've got to get those previews and those pre-cues, so that your people are moving when and how they're supposed to. Once you get those basic what's and you've scanned the room, you give them the how's. You want to make them move efficiently. You want them to get as much benefit from the movement as possible, because the more benefit they get, the better they will feel, not just physically within their bodies, but mentally, because they'll feel successful in achieving the workout. And the better they feel about that workout, the more likely they are to come back to your class again and do it again and do it again. And maybe bring a friend with them next time because, oh my God, I've been taking this great class and I can't wait to come back to this class. So we hit those how cues. Then we nail those why cues. making it relevant to them, making it important for them, making them understand how it makes them move better, how it makes them feel better, how it helps in their daily lives, or how it helps push them further toward their goals. And then there's the motivation, which is the secret sauce. And that one's hard to nail down, especially at the end of a talk where we've laid so many other foundation pieces. So we'll look more at motivational type coaching as we get further into this podcast series. But let's just nail the basics first, right? We nail the basics. We come in, we feel confident that people had a great experience in our class. We leave with our head held high, and we can't wait to come back for our next class. And they can't wait to come back for our next class. And that's what it's all about. It's creating those connections. It's creating those communities. That's why Group X still exists. No matter the decades that pass, people are still looking for those same outcomes. If you'd enjoyed today's podcast, heck, even if you haven't, go ahead and hit that subscribe button, because we have plenty more group exercise instructor development content coming your way. We'll see you next time on the Group X Files.